said, well, that's one good thing about fasting. My pants all fit well now. So. Well, there's more than one good thing, of course, about fasting. But next Sunday right now, but I really feel that one is what I need to talk with you about today. So if you would, if you'd look in the book of St. John, chapter 4. And this is on the wings and the heels of revival. I want us to see, here's what I'm after. My point today is to show us, and that we will see, that there is St. John chapter 4. What I want us to see today is that, let me put it this way. Every Thursday, and nearly every time I pray, but at least every Thursday, I pray at City Hall. And me and a couple of men, and sometimes a woman will come, but most of the time it's just us guys because it's real early. And we pray. And every Thursday I'm praying that God would give us revival. Now that prayer is not erroneous, but there's more to it than that. What I want us to see today is that what the Lord really says, Joyce, is, say ye not that harvest is in 4 months. Stop saying that revival is going to happen in 4 months, but that even right now, Steve, the fields are white unto harvest. And the problem is not with revival. The problem is with us harvesting revival. And I want us to grasp that today. In the book of St. John chapter 4 is where we're going to read that particular verse that I've just quoted. And I want to start there. If you look at verse 4 of St. John 4, what you'll see there is Jesus has gone to Samaria. Verse 4 says, in the King James Version, he says that he must go through Samaria. And the NASV Version, I don't really know what the NIV says, but the NASV Version says that he had to go through Samaria. Now, until you understand what that means, it doesn't say that much to you. Let me give you just a moment of biblical history. After the reign of King Solomon, his son was named Rehoboam. And Rehoboam got some bad, very bad counsel. And what he did was he began to tax the people very heavily. And there was a rebellion. And another young man named Jeroboam brought up a rebellion against Rehoboam and the nation. And the nation divided. 10 tribes went to the north and became called Israel. And two, actually three, because you had Judah and Benjamin and Levi, stayed in the southern part, which was called Judah. Now, in this northern nation of what is called Israel, Nebuchadnezzar came. When God got ready to judge it because of its rebellion, because of its worship of idolatry, and its refusal to receive God as God and have all these other gods, then God brought judgment upon it by Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar came and he captured Israel, and he took them captive, and he took some of the people out of Israel and took them into all the world, and it's called the dispersion of the tribes. And then he brought others from all over the world and brought them into Israel. And there was a mix there. The marriages were mixed. The people mixed. They mixed religions. They worshipped all sorts of crazy things. They bowed down to Baal and Astarte and all these crazy gods. Things of the world. And then that became called Samaria. Now, here is where Jesus is going through. He's going through this place that's all confused and mixed up with all sorts of religion and philosophies. Now, how I want to bring this to you today is that you're going to leave here and you're going out into the world, into all sorts of religions and philosophies and things that people call Christianity, but is really just a mixture of what they believe and what somebody else believes. They really don't know what they believe. They just believe what somebody's told them to believe. Are you with me? And you're going out there into this mixture. You're going to your workplaces. You're going to your schools. You're going to wherever that you're going. And you're going to find this Samaritan. And you must go through Samaria. Do you hear this? And I want you to understand, it's a mixture out there. And you come into here, you come to your home churches, and there's people with like-mindedness, and you know, and we're flowing in the same spirit. But man, I'm telling you, you get out there and it's all mixed up. How many believes that it's all mixed up out there? But you must go through it. Now, Jesus must go through Samaria. You're His body. Okay? You're the Christos. You're the anointed ones. You're the little Jesus. You're the ones that are made into His image, and you must go through Samaria. But look at verse 6, and you'll see that you're weary. Is Jesus weary? How many of you get weary in your journey sometimes? You know, you go through life, and man, I don't want to go talk to these people about Jesus. They're just going to get mad at me. They're not going to receive it. I want them to invite them to the revival, but you know, I'm so tired of this. And you're weary. And so you prop up beside the well and you send the disciples to get some food because you're hungry and you're weary. Now, this is the setting. Now, Jesus here meets the woman at the well. And you know the story. She's been married all these times and he ministers to her and he talks to her of the living water if she would drink of him. And then in verse 27, my glasses are here and my Bible's there. In verse 27 is where I want to start picking it up and then bring it to what I believe the Lord would have us to look at today. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now, a better rendering of that particular question that she asked is this. This is not the Christ, is it? Now, what I want you to see is that sort of a baited question. She knew that it was the Christ. She knew. There was no doubt in her heart. And what you have got to go and you, when you go this week, and I want you to go and asking people to come to what we're going to be having, I want you to go with an expectancy. I want you to leave your water pot. I don't want anything impeding you. I don't want anything impeding you. I want you to go with all expectancy and to go and say, this isn't revival, is it? Could this be? Should this be? May this be revival? Because I'm wanting you to know we have got two men of God that are going to be here with us. Probably our body has responded to these two men of God more than any other men that we've ever had here. Pastor Buren Goss, my personal pastor, has been in ministry for 20 years. A long time. A pastor of a church. He's going to primarily minister to us churched folks. His emphasis, I want him to know, is going to be to revive us, to get us back where they've just gone through a tremendous revival down there. They have went through a wonderful time of God moving upon that body down there. And he's going to be coming up here. He's going to be bringing that with us. And he has ministered to this body in tremendous ways. Then the other one, Dwayne Swilly. Dwayne's only been here once. But let me tell you something. We've never responded to anybody like we responded to Dwayne. The Bible tells me that where a man's treasure is, there his heart is. And I want you to know in one service, just in one service, just with no prompting of anybody, you responded and you gave him the largest love offering that's ever been given to anybody in this place. So I know that he ministers to us. Now his emphasis is evangelical. And I want you to bring the lost people. I want you to bring church people that maybe has received Jesus, maybe not enough. I don't want you to try to just get people that are in church someplace. You know, if the Lord quickens you that way, that's one thing. But the target is the harvest fields. Okay? The target are those that aren't being churched, that aren't locked into a body someplace. We don't want to do any amputation on bodies that are functioning well. What we want are the people that aren't locked in, that aren't functioning in a body someplace. We want them to come. We've got two types of ministry. One's a pastor, another is an evangelist. And when they come, everybody that's here should be ministered to. How many knows that we want both ministered to? You and I need ministering too because we need a revival. We need an experience. We need an excitement. We need a little closer walk with Jesus. Amen? But we want to bring the lost so that they too. Is that right? So we'll have these ministries coming. Now I want you to understand that we need to leave our water pot. Nothing should impede us this week. I want you to go with this on your minds and this thought. I want you to go and invite folks to come. And that's what the woman did. She went downtown and she began to talk to these people about coming. So she left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. This is not the Christ, is it? You know, this could be revival. This could be what we've been wanting. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed with him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Now, back in verse 6, he was wearied. He sent his disciples to get some food. How many knows that you're a tripartite being? You're a spirit, you live in a body, and you have a soul. Okay, all three of those have to eat. How many of you learned that over this fast time? Does your body like to eat? That's the natural. It likes the natural food. But man shall not live by bread alone. But our mind needs intellect. Our soul realm has to feed off of our senses, what we see, what we touch, what we hear. That's what it feeds off of, and that's how it grows, and that's how it matures. Your natural body grows off of natural food. Your soul realm will feed off of what it sees, hears, touches, smells. Am I right? That's how your soul realm grows. But then there's the spirit being. Now what it's going to grow off of is doing the will of God. And if you're not growing in the spirit, hear me now, if you're not growing in the spirit, then you're not partaking, you're not eating of the will of God for your life. Is that true? Let's look and see. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, my meat, my food, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. I like what NASV Bible says, to accomplish his work. How important is it to do the will of God? If you're going to grow in the realm of the Spirit, you've got to tap into the will of God for your life. That's what you'll feed on. That's what your spirit man feeds on. That's what will rejuvenate you from weariness. That's what will bring you back. Now in verse 6, he sends them off. He's tired. He sends them, go get some food. When they get back, something's changed about him. All of a sudden, he doesn't want anything to eat. All of a sudden, his countenance has changed. All of a sudden, he's very happy. Why? Because he's got to minister to this woman. And he's excited and he's anticipating because she's about to bring him a whole city. He's doing the passion of his heart. He's doing the will of the Father. He's doing what God has ordained and destined him to do. Verse 35. Here's where I want 35, 36, 37, and 38. Here's where I built this to get to. Say not ye. Don't say. Everybody say that. Don't say. Don't say. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Don't say. Revival's coming. Say. Revival's here. All I got to do is participate in it. All I got to do is do some harvesting. All I got to do is go out and do what I'm supposed to do. It's here. And listen, if all of us, do you realize if each one of us was to ask or invite 2 people, we would have invited hundreds of people to this revival, to this time. Some of them are going to come. And if they don't, you've still planted in their lives something that somebody else will harvest in the future. Understand, and I'm about to show it to you, understand, what we will be harvesting in this revival is what's already been planted. Well, when was it planted? Well, we've been here for 8 years, we've been planting. But before that, for decades and even centuries, there's been churches in this area planting for revival. Am I right? And he's going to tell you in just a second, one sows and another harvests. What we're going to harvest is what's already been planted. What we want to do now is do some more planting so that in a time future we can do some more harvesting. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also. So what we've got to understand is we're in a constant throw here of harvesting and reaping and harvesting and reaping and harvesting and reaping. And just because they don't respond to you, hey, don't get upset. Don't be weary about that. Jesus sowed in this woman's life, and a little while later, she brought a whole city. And what I want us to hear the Lord say to us is that we are right now in the midst of a time of harvesting something that's been sowed, but understand that what we're doing now is sowing so that we and others can harvest. Now, I want us to grasp this and what his thought is here, and the thing that I really want us to see, our personal benefit from it, is that by doing this, you're going to harvest for yourself treasures, eternal treasures. I want you to see that Jesus says here that when you go out into the harvest field and you harvest, then what you're harvesting is for your eternal well-being. Now let's look at this and see if this isn't true. Verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. He that does what? He that reaps, or he that harvests. He that goes out into the harvest field. He that goes and gets some. He that is responsible for this reaping and this harvesting. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Who's going to rejoice together? The one that sowed and the one that reaped. Now look what he says. Let's go on. And herein is that saying true. One soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored that ye are entering into their labors. Listen. What he's saying to us here, we've got to understand this, is that what we harvest, somebody else has already planted. But we're joining with them in their labor. We're laboring and we're planting. Someone else will later harvest it. Maybe us, but maybe not. That's not the key. The point is that there's a harvest for us. And that when they harvest that, then we join with them in their wages. They join with us when we harvest in their wages, in our wages. They join with us later in the next wages. I don't know if I made that clear. I think that's good enough. There are some wages out there. But don't say, harvest is down the road. When is harvest? Don't say revival is down the road. When is revival? I want us to understand this truth. And I want us to go out of here with this thing. And I want us to purpose in our heart. And I want us to come together as we terminate this celebration day, this time together. We're going to go out of here with a purpose to specifically talk to a couple of people at least before Sunday and have them come with us to church. We're going to invite them. If they can't come Sunday, then get them for Monday. If they can't come Sunday or Monday, then get them for Tuesday. Out of those, and it's only going to be four services. We're going to invite the lost. We're going to invite those that are saved but not in a body functioning someplace right now. Okay? And then we're going to invite ourselves. Say, I'm going to invite myself. Say, the most important person, everybody say it, the most important person that I can bring to the revival is myself. Is that a true statement or not now? Don't say that. Just, is that a true statement or not? See, you won't get revived if you don't come to the revival. There won't be a harvest if we don't plant and harvest it. We've got to understand what the Lord is saying to us. What you've sown, you're going to harvest. What somebody else has sown, you can harvest. What you've planted, somebody's going to reap. It might not be you, but somebody's going to reap it. For what one sows, another reaps. Sure, you can ask people from other churches. The emphasis, my wife wants me to clarify that statement. Listen, I just don't want to be a proselyting place, okay? I want to be a place that really seeks after. Now, I want people to come here when God puts them here. I really, really do. But I don't want to be tagged as a people that draws and proselytes from other churches. God plants. Am I right? He's the one that does it. And he really, you know, he let him take care of that. Tell people we're having revival. They want to come, fine. But we'll let the Lord minister to all those areas of planting. And I don't want to get into that. I had a man talking to me this week about something, and I was thinking to myself, well, that's not the way it should be, but that's my opinion, and I don't want to get into it. And I know I've totally just said something. Nobody knows what in the world I'm talking about except me, so that the Lord knows, so that's good enough. Okay, now, there's three things that I really want us to close with here. One, I want you to invite people to come. Two, the lost. And three, I do not want us to get anxious in this revival. If God wants to do something, let's give him time to do it. Let's don't limit him by the watch. Okay? Listen, we may come next Sunday and it may go all afternoon. Is that okay with you now? Now don't get anxious with it. Let it happen. It's only four meetings. May come Sunday night, may not get out of here till 12 o'clock midnight. Don't get anxious about it. Let God move. We bind him up sometimes, I know, by our time factors. Let's let the Lord move. Come in here Monday night, we want to let him minister to people. We want to let them do whatever they want to do. If both of them want to preach, we'll listen to both of them. Okay, hey, you got these two mighty powerful men of God? Hey, let's get what we can. All right? And let's just forget about the time. We'll have a time to start, but we're not going to have a time to end. We'll end when the Holy Ghost is done. Now, we really want to seek revival. You fasted. You prayed with me. And one more thing. Tomorrow night, we'll be praying here at 7 o'clock. And we're going to come in. I really would like to see about 100 people here praying. I really would like that. I'll settle for 50. But I would really... But I would love to see 100 people here praying for this time and believing God and exercising and stirring our faith up to believe. Listen, we've planted into this revival. We have planted, Steve, in 8 years of planting. It's time that something happens in our area. There's nothing that's shaking our area, right? Now, we have a far outreach. We reach to Ringgold and down to Tryon and Somerville. But as far as something that's really vastly and shaking this area, a place that's really shaking the heavenlies, there's really nothing that's doing it. I want something to do it. And if it's not us, then God, let us be a part of what will do it. But we want to cease the shaking. You don't hear a whole lot of talk about no specific work going on here. The enemy always puts it down. The enemy somehow always stifles it. But we've fasted, Doug, and we've prayed. We've stirred our faith. We've planted into this thing. We've planted our food, our time, our finances. We've planted into it our prayers, our belief. We believe it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We have planted into it. Now it's time to harvest into it. And we'll take some of it and we'll plant it again. And we'll take some of that and we'll plant it again. And we'll get a bigger and bigger field. I was talking to Lance this morning and this thing was going off at me. And I said, Lance, how do you plant for harvest? And I want the Lord really help me understand a lot of this stuff. One of the most fruitful things right now that we've got happening is the home churches. I want to know how to plant into them then. How do we plant into the home churches so that they will bring forth more fruit? One way is to get more home churches. Okay? And I want fruit. We want to plant into our community. How many want to harvest from our area? Then what do we have to plant? Let me tell you. I have a garden spot and I'm done. I'm just sharing what I have in my heart right now. A garden spot up on my place where I live, behind my house, up on the hill behind my hill, there's a garden spot, a little place, about like this square right here. About a 20 by 30 or something like that square. And I plant up there every year. But now what, I don't go out my back door and look up there at that place and I pray for some tomatoes this year. Bless God. Oh, yes, and some okra, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'll have okra. And onions, Lord, I want the onions too. Yes, Jesus. I might pray for my garden, but if I don't go up there and plant some tomatoes and some okra and some onions, and we want harvest, come on now, and we want our area, we want this region, we want it shaken, and we pray. But if we're not planting, how many hears that? So I said, Lord, and he showed me this morning. Lord, okay, I hear that. I'm not dumb. I hear that, Lord. How do I do it? Okay. Now, one way we've done, we fast and we pray. But now we're going to start a real planting understanding. We want to understand how to plant into our area. We want to plant into our community. Plant into these regions that God has specified for us from Ringo down to Tryon and Somerville. We want to understand how to plant into them because we want to harvest from them. It'll take a little more than praying. Amen. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. But what we sow. Amen. Okay. Let's pray together as we finish up today. I want you to come up if you will and let's all gather around. All of you that will. And this is for the revival. Now tomorrow night we'll be coming in praying for revival. We want to pray that the Lord's going to move upon us. We're going to open our lives up to Him to move upon us. We're not going to bind Him in any way. We're going to believe that we will be revived. We're going to believe that souls will be won. And we're going to believe that God's going to move in our midst. Amen? How many believes that God wants to? Does the Lord want to more than we want Him to? I want us to understand that. The Lord wants to move here in this thing much more than we want Him to move here. Is that right? And we've got to understand that. So what, in some way, let's join hands in a form of unity. Okay? And then I'm going to pray the prayer of unity to start with. And then what I want to do is after that, come on up here. And what I want to do is I want to drop our hands and lift our hands unto Him into a surrender that whatever He wants to do in me in this revival, that He can do it. Is that okay? Whatever that it is, whatever He wants to cut out or put in, I really want to experience that. I want God to move in a mighty, mighty way here. We have fasted for it. We've sown into it. We're financing the thing. We really want a move of God. Why have it if we're not going to allow it to minister to us? Okay? So I really want to exercise our faith now in unity and believing that God's going to do that. Father, we come now in the name of Jesus. But I know